What's up? Welcome to episode 328 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah is out shopping because it is Michael's birthday, so she will not be here. Hopefully she'll get them a giant tree that Isley suggested.
What if he listens to this now, before he opens the tree?
I don't think he listens to this, but only when she's recording, and he'll hear her side of the conversation, but nothing else. we were off last week, wasn't able to make it, so, you know, as far as new releases that came out, I don't remember what came out last week, because I remember we already talked about a couple things that did come out, like the Doom games coming to, at least I believe we did, where like all three Doom games came to PS4. I know there's some weird thing, like the audio mixing in Doom 1 and 2 on the PS4 port are like off. I think Digital Foundry did a video. It's like it's weird for some reason. Also, there's like some kind of stutter. But the Doom 3 port is supposed to be really good. So I might actually pick up Doom 3 and replay it because I haven't played that since fucking, 2004, 2003, whenever it came out.
I'm assuming you've seen all the memes about how you need an online account to play.
Yeah, I know they said they, because that showed up on the Nintendo Switch versions, saying you need like an account. And I know they said immediately after that, they're like, oh, we're going to patch that out. I don't know if that patch has gone live. But yeah, that was something that happened on the Switch I saw. And then, of course, Wolfenstein Youngblood came out recently. But I believe we talked about that because that came out on a Friday. And I think we recorded after that. But yeah, nothing else of note. There are a ton of deals.
You haven't played it yet, though, have you?
No, I haven't played. I'm still playing because I'm slowly going through. Like I had a chunk where I burned through a bunch of the Assassin's Creed DLC because I'm trying to get through the first arc so I could start the last arc since all the episodes are out now. And then I'm playing a lot of Bloodstained, and then I'm still just playing a shit ton of Apex because they do the weekly and daily challenges, which is like when Fortnite introduced that into their system, I was like, all right, this like incentivizes me to play even more because I'm like, and plus they have the ranked system going on right now, so I'm playing a bunch of ranked and everything to get up and all that. So I haven't played Wolfenstein yet, but I do have it. But yeah, there are a ton of deals going on and luckily they're not ones that end on Monday, so we can talk about them because they last until the 20th. It's some summer deals. I know Spider-Man's on sale right now I thought Spider-Man was part of that $20 PlayStation Greatest Hits thing, or maybe it was $40, I guess. But it's on sale for $20 or $15.99 if you're PlayStation Plus. But yeah, some of the summer deals. Let's see all game deals. There's a lot of them.
Like I think it was $20. It was part of that deal because I think that's when I bought it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Judgment's on sale, Blood and Truth, some VR stuff, Call of Duty 4 Apocalypse Zombie Pack, I guess that's what that is. Days Gone's on sale. I think Days Gone's on sale pretty low. I can't see it. It's got to be at least 40% because the Digital Deluxe version of it is 40% off. But yeah, a bunch of stuff. Borderlands Game of the Year Edition, if you didn't already pick it up for the PlayStation Plus that was a while back. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3, a bunch of stuff's on sale. Go check it out. A lot of Assassin's Creed. I think even Red Dead is a Red Dead Redemption 2 is on sale. I don't know what the discount for it is, though. But yeah, go check this out. And yeah, as far as news goes, apparently Activision Blizzard has a new IP in development. This is according to an article on Twinfinite. During Activision Blizzard's financial conference call for investors and analysts, the publisher's executives talked about new IP and remasters of old properties. So this is Chief Operating Officer Cody Johnson explained that while the company is leaning into its strong existing IP, they have, quote, new IP projects, end quote, across each of its businesses, which include Activision, Blizzard, and King. So yeah, it looks like they're going to have some new stuff in the works, as well as some more remasters. I'm kind of looking forward to that. The Warcraft 3 remaster. I never did play Warcraft 3. I played a lot of Warcraft 1, a little bit of 2, but I never played 3, so if they have a Mac version of it, I might pick it up. And then we also had, while we were gone, they had a bunch of these character trailers for Borderlands 3 that came out, which I really liked a lot because seeing them in action, also like in hearing the voice actors, it's kind of making me like I thought like, oh, I know who I'm going to be when I play this. But then once I saw each of these videos come out like multiple days apart, I was like, damn it, now I don't know who I want to be. Like, do I want to be Flack, or do I want to be, you know, like I seems like, okay, I could almost be any of the characters and be fine, but yeah,
the only correct answer is the engineer dude whose name I can't remember at the moment.
Yeah, his name is, oh, I just had it.
The one that's closest to an assassin, I think, but yeah, not really.
Zane.
Yeah, he's Zane. The only correct answer.
And I was really worried that Mose or Mosey, whatever you pronounce her name, I was worried that her voice is going to be kind of like Tiny Tina-ish. Not that I don't like Tiny Tina's voice, but I like Tiny Tina's voice for that character. But luckily it's not. Like, she's got a voice that I wasn't expecting. But yeah, I like watching. Like, I thought the Flak, the Beastmaster, was really cool. I liked Mosey's stuff as well. And Zane's. Now, the one thing, it was funny because I was talking about earlier in the week with my cousin, was that I hope they release, oh good, the dishwasher's done, I can turn up my gain and lean back a little bit, there we go. One thing I was hoping for was like a skill tree builder, so I can kind of pre-build and see, because one of the things from Borderlands 1 and 2 was always like each of the character classes were very much based on, like, it wasn't just their abilities, but they're also specialized in one or two particular type of guns. So it was like in Borderlands 1, I picked the character's like, oh, he does revolvers and sniper rifles. I do like sniping, and at least I got the guns. Okay. And then I played the assault class in 2 because I didn't want to snipe. I wanted to use assault rifles. So I was like, I hope they have skill trees. Like they release them so I can look at it and kind of see, like, okay, who specializes in what? And then see how much their skill trees feed into that. Because if it's more like, oh, you just get ammo capacity, and it's not like an entire tree that definitely makes it to where this particular weapon type is super OP versus the other guns, so you can't really use, like, if they don't primary shotguns, you're like, okay, I can't use shotguns because they don't have any bonuses for it. But I was like, oh, I hope they release that. And then, yeah, like 2 days later on the Borderlands.com website, they have skill tree builders for all the characters. So now I need to go through and look at every skill tree and see if they specialize in specific weapons and then what it is. Because I know that Sirens traditionally were always like their skill bonuses enhance the elemental effects. And then it looks like Flak very much uses a sniper rifle. And then Zane uses pistols and Mosey uses machine guns or assault rifles. So we'll see how it goes. But I definitely like all the character trailers, and I could be like, man, I could almost play each of them. But yeah, because originally I was going to pick Zane, but now I'm like, oh, I might pick Mosey or Flak, but we'll see. Definitely got to build up the skill trees, though.
Yeah, I usually pick based on weapons as well. Like, I've really enjoyed SMGs and snipers in the Borderlands games. I'm not really feeling it with the new Siren for the first time. I figured absolutely I would play as a Siren again, but her special abilities with the giant arms that come out, it doesn't really do much for me. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem as interesting to me as the other Siren. Well, it's more interesting. It just doesn't click with, like, the playstyle I associate with the Siren. I don't associate Sirens with, like, up close and personal. I associate them with, like, mid-range submachine gun, disappear, reappear, and just, like, set things on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at her stuff. She definitely has elemental bonuses and stuff. I'm trying to see what kind of other things she has that's a specialty to just particular. Seems to be very much elemental, so I'm trying to go through all her skill trees. Yeah, it's interesting because her Siren abilities seem very melee-focused. So I'll be curious to see how, although they still look like they suspend enemies in place, but
I mean, they suspend enemies and things, but they do seem melee-focused, which is why it's odd to me, is because I don't think of Sirens as a melee class. I think of them as an elemental class. Like,
right.
Borderlands 2 had
Zero.
Not saying it can't be done, but yeah, it had Zero, who essentially was
the melee class, seemed
to be a sniper, but if you actually played him, realized he works much better, like, switching between sniping and then melee, and then sniping and melee and shit like that. There was, like, a really good back and forth. So I'm not saying it can't be done, and it probably is, like, a type of gameplay that's very fun for Siren or for her. I just think I'm going to have to try it out first before, like, on paper, her abilities don't wow me, but I think that gameplay-wise, I might actually try the character and be like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah, well, because she has the one ability that's basically the traditional Siren lock enemy in place ability, where it summons a giant fist that bursts from the ground and locks the targeted enemy in place for a few seconds. Some enemies are immune to it, but this status skill duration is 7 seconds, cooldown 16, grasp immune damage 28. And let's see what her other one was. Sends a fist. Okay, and then she can send forward an astral projection of herself, dealing damage to everyone in its path. She can send like a digital copy of herself to deal damage, which is a pretty interesting ability. So the only one that definitely seems more melee focused is the one where she leaps in the air and she does a ground pound. But it seems like her other skill trees are very much like the traditional lock the enemy in place kind of thing, which I'm assuming, okay, deal increased damage. I'm trying to see if there's one where like it creates it like a black hole kind of effect. But yeah, she definitely has some melee focused stuff, but her skills are definitely focused on the elemental aspects of the weapons, it seems like, going through these skill trees. But yeah, interesting. Let's see. Whenever Mars astral projection damages an enemy or object, it releases homing elemental projectiles that trigger her action elemental skill effect on enemies. I'm just looking at some other stuff. Yeah, it's got some interesting abilities. I'm curious. There's the phase locked ones, yeah. But yeah, you can go ahead and just build out your skill tree, see how many skill points it'll take. It says 48. But I don't know if that means you only get 48 in this, is the max amount you can earn. I think that must be the max amount you can earn in the game if you get level cap.
They've raised all the level caps of all the other games and shit, so...
Yeah.
I'm sure that it will eventually be higher than 48.
Yeah. But, yeah, you can just, you can build it out. Yeah, because it looks like, yeah, it's definitely the current level cap, because if you punch in this, you see the skill just going on. So you can see, like, what you want to do, which is really cool. But yeah, they also, let's see... There are some PS4 Pro features where you can either run the game at... They called it favorable resolution and favorable performance. And when I first saw an article, I was like, what do they... Like, one of them, it read totally different. I was like, I think it was like graphics. Oh, that's what they called it. They called it graphics or frame rate. I was like, that doesn't make sense because it's very... It's a cel-shaded game, but it's that... It's the... it'll be an unlocked resolution... If you play in the graphics, or if you favor performance, it'll be 60 FPS at 1080p, which on the PS4 Pro will still get the super sampling effect from the system, which is good. So yeah, I'll definitely play in just 60 FPS. And then let's see. We also had the other week, last week, Jeff Keighley announced a Gamescom event called Opening Night Live that he's doing. And there's no real details about who is going to be there. But then earlier in this week, they did the lineup, and Keighley announced that Hideo Kojima will be live in Cologne during Gamescom Open Night Live on Monday, August 19th, to premiere an exclusive new look at Death Stranding. And of course, they will be streaming across all platforms. And then there was a funny thing where someone noticed in some, I think it was like a PlayStation Australia, that Death Stranding disappeared from the PlayStation exclusives listing in just Australia. And so then people were like, when I was like, does that mean maybe an announcement would be like, oh, it's also coming to PC? And then there's just a bunch of speculation. But yeah, there's gonna be
interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, you can still be, I'd see nothing wrong with bringing it to PC and just having it, especially because it's not first party. It's second, even though second party's not super much a thing. But yeah, it's like, you know, just. Because most of your second party stuff is usually a first party agreement, at least nowadays.
I don't know if I believe it, but it would definitely be interesting.
Yeah, it would be, you know, because it'd be, I mean, I feel like it could almost be a smart move considering Microsoft is doing every one of their exclusives is coming out on PC now with that whole initiative to really support the PC gamers. And it's not like it would take away from, your sales, like you're still making money. It's like,
oh God, can you imagine if it was an Epic Store exclusive?
Yeah, I don't know if they would do that. I feel like Epic would only do that when it's like an indie title, And then like they to help fund the studio that's making the game, they'll give them money to be an exclusive. Well, I guess Borderlands 3 did go to the Epic Store, I believe.
Few games have gone to it. I mean, it's not... It would not be impossible for that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad. PC players can still play it. It's free platform to download. It's like nothing... You don't have to worry about it. It doesn't cost you any extra to get it on Epic. But yeah.
I just made it cause a shitstorm of people complaining.
Yeah, I'm tired of people complaining.
Well, then you live on the wrong planet.
That's why I love that Ooblets letter from like a week and a half ago. I was like, this is perfect. This like I love this. Like just, it's just funny and just telling it to their faces. Like, hey, this is how it is. Blah blah blah. It's so difficult. Of course, the backlash was dumb. But yeah. Other than that, I'm not seeing too much else that we missed that was big. There were some more screenshots. I feel like every week when I'm looking at the news, there's always new screenshots for Persona 5R. And I'm like, why? Why? It's like, it keeps just showing up like more Persona 5R stuff. Just,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm excited about that game and we'll probably buy it and beat the hell out of it again.
Yeah, but it's like...
But I don't need screenshots of it.
Like, you can see new Persona in this screenshot, but... we did have the No Man's Sky Beyond launch date reveal trailer this week. Let's see here. August 14th across all platforms is when that comes out. And then, yeah, I'm trying to see what else. I know that the soundtrack for Red Dead Redemption 2 is available digitally now. So you can get that if you're looking forward. I might check that out because there are some good, like, ambient music tracks in there that could be a nice to have. Cause I do like a good gentle track just to listen to. But yeah, that's looks like that's it. There was the, while we were gone, they had a multiplayer event for Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and I did watch a lot of that, and it looks like, I haven't been like excited about Call of Duty in a long time, and it looks good. Like the new engine tech they got, the way the game looks, and it looks like it feels really good. I mean, they've always felt great, but it looks really good. I like all the stuff they're doing, and I'm like, man, it just looks like a ton of fun. I'm especially because they have much bigger, like they have 64 player style modes, so it's like, which is what I like about Battlefield. And I'm like, now they essentially have like a conquest mode in Call of Duty now. With a large amount of players, and it's like, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
That actually seems really cool. If I played Call of Duty more often, I would be incredibly psyched for that, because that's the type of multiplayer and shooters that I do actually enjoy.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'll definitely pick this up. I don't know if I'll get it right at launch because, you know, servers, but I'll definitely be picking up Call of Duty, especially because I've kind of fallen off from Battlefield. Even though I really enjoyed Battlefield 5, it's like, just there was some problems at the start. I didn't really have any issues with it. I know a lot of people did, but it's just like too much came out, and I didn't have anybody really to play. And then of course when Apex came out, I started playing more Apex. But yeah, I'll definitely pick up the new Call of Duty. Definitely want to play that story too. But yeah, multiplayer, I'll probably definitely play that. But yeah, that's kind of all that we missed while we were gone. Don't think there was anything else that was giant. Yeah, so I guess we can go ahead and just move on to what we've been playing. What have you been playing since last time we were on the podcast?
I got nothing new, man. I was camping for like 3 nights, and then I went paragliding and hiking.
Doing too much real life shit, man.
I know. What the hell's up?
Podcast. This isn't hiking. What are you doing?
I know. Zaya would be disappointed too.
But
I finished Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice again. I took my sweet time playing through, and I have so many fucking photos now from that game since mm-hmm. I kind of mentioned it before, but going through the game this time, I wanted to go through it really slowly, so I took full advantage of the photo system they have, and I just have like a massive backlog to go through and pull some into Photoshop, clean them up, see if I can make some cool backgrounds, since there's some really great set pieces in that game.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, and I'm pretty psyched for that. So I actually might do that later today. Just sit down with Photoshop and make pretty images.
Do it. Yeah, I've outside of Apex, because of the... Oh, that's one thing I missed, too, is they did announce a limited-time solo queue mode for Apex that's going to be coming out on the 13th or 14th, lasting about 2 weeks. So that'll be really interesting, because I'm really wondering how that game's going to be, where everybody, especially if everybody's, like, playing the same character. That'll be really weird. I wonder how much...
Solo queue, like, no teams in it. It's only solo players?
Yeah, it's only solo players. Now, that doesn't mean... I don't know if that means it's going to be... Because I think it's, what, 64 players is currently there? Or 80-something? I can't remember. But I know it's not... It's like 16 teams of 3, I think is what it is. No, 20 teams of 3. 60 people. So I'm curious if it'll be 60 solos or if they'll lower down the amount. Because I can't imagine, like, if you had 60 people that picked one of the... Everybody picked a legend that was, like... So, like, there's two that call in these artillery strikes. Different variants of, like, an artillery strike. But I'm like, I can't imagine, like, 60 players activating that alt at the same time on the server. I feel like they would just explode.
That'd be kind of cool, though, to be honest.
Yeah, it would. But it's like, you figure you're going from essentially a definitive 20-character cap on any character because you can't pick, you can't double up on one team. And if there's 20 teams, then there can only be 20 max of one character. So I'm like, I can't imagine just 60. Because someone on Reddit's like, that'd be fun if like we did like a community thing where on this day everybody queues up as this legend. On this day everybody does this one. Like it just rotates through the legends. I'm like, my God, that'd be nuts. But they'll have more details about it as we get closer to launch. Right now they just announced it, so that'll be really interesting. But yeah, I really like the ranked queue. It definitely, it's definitely really good. I like it a lot. But aside from Apex, I played more Bloodstained. Because I played Bloodstained on and off and not in, like, one sitting, like, in normal mode for, like, an Assassin's Creed or something, I got in the situation where I got stuck, where...
This is what you were talking about before.
Yeah, I didn't know how to progress. So I open the map, and I know that there's spots, like, I get to, I'm like, okay, well, clearly, the way this is designed, I know I need something I don't have. And then there's spots, like, on the bottom of the castle, there's, like, some water, but I can't swim underwater yet. So I'm like, okay, I clearly can't go this way because I can't swim underwater. I can't go this way because I need some ability I don't have. And then I couldn't figure out where to go. And unfortunately, I got kind of spoiled from, like, Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 7, where they put the icons of the item you need to progress past an area on the map. So it's like, oh, this door that's locked has a diamond logo. I need the diamond key. So once you get a new item, you can feel like, okay, what doors did I miss? Okay, I can go in these doors now. Whereas in this game, they don't mark in the map. It's just like, oh, you have an incomplete map. It's like there's a hallway you didn't finish. Why didn't I go that way? And you go back there and say, oh, that's right, because I can't progress any further in this direction. Because there were some instances where like I would progress in an area in the game with blue screen on me, and then I'd be like, damn it, and I'd say forget it. And then when I went back into the game later, I wouldn't repeat go down that same path anymore. So sometimes I'd have to double check, like, is that one of the situations where I just didn't go to this area for a second time? So I'm running around, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna go to every corner. And I end up finding, I guess, some tiny spot that I missed where it's like, okay, I could progress. And I get to this train, and it's like, there's these are three red lights and they're blocking me. And it's like, oh, this machine requires something for you to pass. And I'm like, well, what the hell do I need? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, there's no quest. Like, there are quests, side quests in the game, and they tell you, like, here, you know, kill X amount of these enemies. And so, and they put the icons on the map for those. Like, oh, in this area is the enemy type you need to kill for this quest. Like, there's a little icon that's like a scroll for the quest icon. And the game marks NPCs on the map with a diamond. And treasure chests you missed are marked as well. But it's like, I needed something to get past this gate. I'm like, what the fuck do I need? I couldn't figure it out. So I try to go online and find out, okay, does anybody have a guide, like a walkthrough? Because I'm not going to run around and not know, because even the main character doesn't know what she needs. And it's like, typically most games, if you don't get it from a boss, then I don't know how the fuck I need it in this game. Because typically everything I need, you know, you kill the boss and you get it. But I'm like, I don't know what the fuck. So I, none of the major sites have good walkthroughs. It's all garbage. Because like, or no one's done them. Like IGN, it's a wiki. So if people haven't filled out the wiki yet, then it doesn't exist. So I finally find one on some off-brand website who has just a very basic breakdown of, like, you know, it's like if you were to say dark, like a Dark Souls path, and you'd be like, okay, from here, from the shrine, you go here, kill the dragon, get, you know, break his tail, get the blade, go here, like a very basic guide. And that's what it was. It's like, okay, what you need to do is go here. There's a train. To open the train, you need a train pass, essentially. To get it, go back and talk to the vampire guy. And I'm like, okay, now I gotta remember where this vampire guy was. And then I look him up, I'm like, okay, because for some reason, I guess because he's a vampire, his NPC icon doesn't show up on the map. So it turns out, like,
it's like mirrors, you know?
Yeah, you know, totally. A world map is just like a mirror.
I actually wonder if that's why they didn't do it.
I don't know. Well, there's one spot in the game too where there's a character, there's an NPC icon, but it's glitched because there's no NPC there anymore. It's like the NPC's gone. I go to this guy and I have the item he needs. He makes a pass for it, but I'm like, there must have been, because I've talked to this NPC before, and all he does, he's essentially an a la carte kind of character. He just sits there. He's in where Castlevania Symphony of the Night had the librarian that would sell you items.
Yeah.
He's essentially that character in a kind of a similar spot where you go in the room, he's sitting on a chair, but he sells you books that you equipped that raise a stat. But I don't remember ever meeting him and him saying anything like, yeah, you know, you can buy these books. By the way, there's a train. If you ever want to go on that train, come talk to me. I'll make you a bus pass, you know, for the train or whatever. It's like, I don't remember this character saying, yo, if you ever get stuck, come talk to me and I'll tell you what you should do next. Like, none of that. So basically, I had killed a boss earlier that dropped this phosphorus or something. I forget what it was. Which, there was an NPC in the main NPC area at the start of the game that wanted to take a picture of you. And she's like, oh, but I need this chemical. So I go back to her and I just happen to give it to her. Like, I didn't even think it was anything important. I just talked to her. She's like, oh, the main character's like, I found that thing you needed. She's like, okay, come over here. I'll take your photo. And now I have a photo of me, which I happen to need to give to the guy, the vampire guy, to make me the train pass. But it's like, there was no clear indication that that's what I had to do, which is rather annoying. Which luckily, once I got that, then I was able to find the boss that gave me the ability I needed to go and explore the other parts of the castle that I haven't been able to explore yet.
That always the frustration with Metroidvanias, though, is you'll come across that one spot in, like, every Metroidvania where just for some reason you can't progress and you're sitting there like, what the fuck did I do wrong?
No, because when even when I played Castlevania Symphony of the Night, I was a kid. And it's like, everything was perfectly clear. Like, I can't get through, there's a metal gate. Once I got the mist, I'm like, oh, I can go through the metal gates. It was like, you needed the mist and the double jump. And, like, that's all you needed to really progress to the other areas. Because, like, the wolf speed didn't really help you do that much. The bat, turning into the bat, that helped you a lot once you got the bat familiar. Or the ability to do that. So it's like, it was very clear, like, it's these three things, and then the castle inverts. And this is like, okay, clear. It was very clear. Okay, once I got the double jump, I can do this. Once I got the new skill I have, I know I can do this other thing. Like, it makes sense. It was just this one thing where there's a gate, and they didn't, like, tell you. Like I said, that's why I kind of want to go back and just speed run and go and talk to this vampire guy, or I'll just watch someone do a playthrough and see if he says it. Like, I just don't remember anyone saying, like, yo, there's a train, you need a pass from the vampire guy. Like, I don't remember that ever being communicated, which could just be, if it was, could be a side effect of me playing the game in small bursts initially. But that's why I want to see if the game actually communicated that one thing to you, because it's the only thing that was very unintuitive about, because typically Metroidvanias are very, like, intuitive. It's like, if I can't progress here, I clearly need an ability to do so. And you know, once you get the ability, okay, I know where I can go ahead. But this is like the one time it's like, it's a mechanic. It's not even a mechanic. It's just a mechanism I can't go through because of, you know, not even ability required. It's just an item. It was just weird. It just bugged me. But
I don't know, you're clearly a better player than I am, because I've definitely had issues in almost every Metroidvania I've played where there was like a frustrating thing that just blocked me and my progress for hours, and then I'd figure it out and make it through, and I'd be like, yeah, that was amazing, but like my entire experience would be somewhat tainted of like, except for that one spot where I couldn't get through and I was stuck there for 6 fucking hours going through every single room before.
Yeah, typically I only get that. I mean, I guess I haven't played a ton of Metroidvanias as well. I mean, that's, I guess that could be the case. I don't really play a whole lot of them. But I do get that a lot in like normal games where like I'll play a game, especially if it's a game from like my childhood or something, like PS1. And then I go back and play it like way later, like during the PS2 era. And I get to the spot, I'm like, what the fuck do I do right here? Like I've done it before, but for some reason I'm just blanking. Like I have no idea. And I used to be like, hey, yo, remember on that, you know, that one level with the thing? How the fuck do you get past that one part? And it's like, oh, you do this. I'm like, oh, that's right. You do fucking that easy thing. I used to get that a lot. Where like whenever I'd repeat a game, but yeah, it's really fun. I'm really enjoying Bloodstained a lot now that I've played more of it. I feel like the bosses, they feel like they're pretty far apart now. I don't know. It's kind of odd. Like I'll progress to an area. Like, do I have enough HP just in case there's a boss on the other side of this thing? Yeah, it's fun. I'm liking it a lot. But yeah, and then I still got to finish the last bit of the Assassin's Creed DLC.
You've been playing that DLC for a while.
Well, the problem was when I first played it, I was doing a shit ton. Because before the DLC came out, and then as the big chunks were coming out, they were doing these Tales from Greece DLC side quests. And these side quests are long. Like, they're multi-part. So when I first started playing the DLC, I was just doing these fucking side quests. I wasn't even doing the main story. And then now I just got to burn through this one thing because I'm like, it's like, yeah, I'm not really feeling what's going on right now. It's like, I get it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Got to do this, got to do that. But I'm just like, I want to get to this, the second arc, because the second arc, the Atlantis stuff is apparently like super great. Like, everyone loves the Atlantis stuff. But yeah, I just have to go through that. And then at some point I'll play Youngblood. I just don't know when. Oh, I'm playing, and then I'm also playing a ton of Civ 6. So it's like that. And then every now and then I'll play Mario Maker. So I'm just kind of hopping between everything.
Did download Sniper Elite 4.
Nice. Oh, we should play that co-op.
I have heard that you get to shoot Hitler in it.
There's a DLC mission. I think it's free. Where yeah, you can shoot. Cause every Sniper League game has a mission where you can shoot
Hitler.
Yeah, I love the one in Sniper Elite 4 because it's the level he's in is huge, and it's like the level in Sniper Elite 4 is a secret. If I remember correctly, I believe it's the one where they're building a secret U-boat, like a big U-boat. Because they kind of take these, like, they have one level in the game. I think it's one of the last levels in the main game where they have, like, this giant tank that the Nazis were trying to make, which is based on these mega weapons they're actually trying to do. So you're trying to stop this big tank. But I think in this one, it's like Hitler's visiting this U-boat facility, but he has... oh my god, what do they call him? Like a real life decoy?
Body double?
Body doubles, there we go. I think there's two body doubles, so there's three Hitlers going around, and you have to figure out which one's the real one. And I forget how they do it. Now, of course, you could kill all of them. But if you're not careful, because he's got bodyguards, you'll trigger the alarms, and then the real Hitler will get away. But yeah, you have to figure out which Hitler's the actual Hitler. I forget how you do it, but Sniper League games are just so much fun. I love the environmental stuff you can do.
So it's like playing Secret Hitler, except with a sniper rifle.
I guess on that one mission, but the main game though is just, it's so much fun. I love it. It's just because especially when you, if you turn off the game, I mean, you can play this way, I guess, if you want, but the game does, in a lot of the modes, has like this assist feature where you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about bullet drop, acceleration, anything like that, wind. You don't have to worry because the game will put a diamond that shows you exactly where your bullet's going to go. And it's like, I'm like, turn that off. I want the like most authentic sniper mode I can in this game, where it's like, I have to figure out the distance, worry about the wind, all of that. And it's just, I love it. It's so good. Because then when you hit those shots and you're just hitting them consistently, it's just so fucking good. I love that game.
How hard is it to platinum?
Since
I am anal about that shit.
Let me see. Let me see how many trophies I have for it. I'm going to have to dig around for it. I can't remember. I don't think I've ever like focused on, you know, trying to get trophies in Sniper League games. I've played since, there it is, Sniper League 4. So right now on the main game, I have 40%. Let's see if what I missed that could be tough. Oh, apparently I didn't do Overwatch 1, Overwatch 2. Oh, those are all bronze trophies. I'm trying to see trophies that aren't bronze. Complete the entire campaign on authentic difficulty. I don't remember what that is. Because I did it on Sniper Elite difficulty. I think I did Sniper Elite custom. Maybe that's why I didn't get authentic. I forget what the difference is between authentic. It might be just damage thing. Yeah, because I'm just mentioning a bunch of like bronze trophies. Yeah, it's like even these silver ones, it looks like they're, yeah, you could easily grind, especially because a lot of these aren't tied to difficulty except for the one about, you know, beating the whole game on the maximum. But all this other stuff, you could easily, oh wait, no, this one, okay, this one looks like it's pretty tough. Let's see. Complete at least, say this is one match. I think you have to do, yeah, it has three. It looks like it has one or two multiplayer trophies.
Oh, no, I hate multiplayer.
Yeah, so it's like, because it's complete at least one match in each mode. That's easy because that's what, sounds a lot like what the Uncharted trophies did. And then it's take control of an enemy held radio and capture it with just seconds remaining on the clock. It doesn't, which is funny because it doesn't say multiplayer next to it, but it's a multiplayer trophy. But then
are there private matches?
I don't remember. I haven't played in a long time, but all the other stuff is very simple. It's like, you know, fully master a weapon, master a rifle, secondary, and a pistol, and that's easy. You just use them. So you just keep playing and using it. Complete a main mission campaign with rifle kills only. Easy. And that's a silver. There's collectibles, so you just do the collectible stuff. That's easy. I'd say reaching character rank 50 might take a bit, because I only did character rank 25, so I guess you'd have to play some more. But yeah, and then the last one's complete the entire main campaign on authentic difficulty with no manual saves. But that's a bronze. Ooh. So I feel like that could be actually pretty easy, because I think the auto saves are pretty liberal, if I remember, because you only pretty much manual save if like you're right in front of like a big, like you got a lot of shit, you got a snipe or something, and you're like, all right, I don't want to fuck this up, I'm just gonna save right here. So I guess that would be a thing, but I feel like you could probably easily do that. But yeah, it's just collectibles and stuff like that. But yeah, the multiplayer, I'll have to boot it up and see if there's private matches.
If there's private matches and you can just scum it, then that seems like it wouldn't be bad at all. Obviously, that wouldn't be bad at all then, but
yeah, I'll download it and check. But yeah, I've played, because I started playing Sniper Elite with Sniper Elite 2, or Sniper Elite V2, and then I did 3, and then of course 4, and now I'm looking forward to, I think they said they have 5 in development, because I know they're doing, they remastered V2, and 3, I believe, for PS4. I don't remember if those already came out, But those got remastered. I think they did. But yeah, I love the Sniper League games. They're so good. I've always wanted to play those co-op, just because I'd love to like sync up those shots and be like, okay, I'll get this guy, you get that guy.
It's just, it's the co-op, just like you both exist in the same.
It's the, you're doing the entire campaign in co-op, and you still got the same objectives. All that stuff is just, you got two people.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a download. I'm not gonna download DC on DLC, but yeah, it's a, I like the game. It's a lot of fun. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up. It's actually a pretty short episode. I guess Zaya would have been playing much if she was here, because I think she's just doing Dragon Quest Builders. But, yeah. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode then. So, thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Wesley, for joining.
Yep.
And we'll see you all next time.
Later.